You know, there's all kinds of things in this world today that there are things that you just gotta have. I mean, it's just made for you. If you're somebody that likes to get out on those trails and ride the 10-speed bikes or the super 10-speed that weighs 2 pounds, you can pick it up with 2 fingers, and the thing has 25 gears, and you can go up a hill like this without any trouble. That's a bike you just gotta have. Or maybe you're somebody that just loves to fish, and they have this amazing tackle box that holds 2,000 lures and accessories, and it's all compact and it's lightweight, and you just gotta have it. Or possibly you're somebody that enjoys a wonderful garden, and I know somebody that'll build you a garden, and you'll sit back and just watch all those beautiful flowers grow, and it's something you just gotta have. There's things in this world that we just gotta have. And also, if you're a normal human being like me, and like almost everybody I know, then your world is a world that's up and down oftentimes. Your world isn't perfect. We live in a world full of sin, and we live in a world where, you know, somebody's happy one day and unhappy the next, and tragedy happens, good things happen, and it's hard to find that even keel. And if that's you, then I have just what you need. I have the Word of God, which gives us all that pertains unto life and godliness. And this book will cover everything that pertains to your life. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, we have an anchor for our soul. And that anchor is found in this book through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we think about that anchor, I think that it's important for us to focus a little bit of our attention on those kinds of things that can help us get through this world, preparing us for the next world. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 31, verses 23 and 24. We're going to read that tonight. Psalm 31, 23 and 24. Now, this psalm is the Psalm of David. And if you're looking at Psalm 31 in the very first verse, it says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me." And so that's the background of this psalm. This is where David's coming to. In verse 5, he says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." And then in our text tonight, he says in verse 23, "O love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You know, we heard these wonderful, encouraging words from David. Words of a king who said, the Lord will preserve the faithful, and He strengthens the heart of all the saints whose hope is in the Lord. And that's where we want to go tonight. We want all of our hopes, everything, including our fears, everything. We realize that we just need to hand those over to the Lord. And I would like to spend a little time with you this evening speaking of God's great power by example to help keep us up, to help moor us to that sure foundation, to help keep our heads above water in all of our times, whether they be times of joy or times of sorrow. We can continually look to the Lord. And when we think of that, that will have what we will have what David had here, a strengthened heart. So listen to this. Turn to another book here, the book of Habakkuk. And we want to turn to that book, and it's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. That's the fifth book back from Malachi, if I remember right, Habakkuk. In this book, Habakkuk, in this, and I'm going to put this on the screen, but what we read here is the words of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the ox may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. And let's stop there. Though all my strength is gone, you know, we fight through this life sometimes. And we could be sitting thinking to ourselves, all my strength is gone. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've failed. I have nothing to show for all my efforts. And all my efforts, they just come to nothing. My bank account, zero. Right? My car is not working. My friends, my best friend has died, or my friends have forsaken me, and I'm now left alone, and all I have is emptiness. And that's kind of what we're hearing here from Habakkuk. The fig tree's not blossoming. Nothing's going right. There's no fruit on the vine. The olive tree's failed. There's no food in the field. The flocks are cut off. No herd in the stalls. It's just not going right. But if you look at verse 18, you see what he says there? And this is what is wonderful. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me to walk on my high heels. You see, no matter how bad things get, no matter what terrible things happen, whether the fruit trees are drying up and the animals are dying off and the roof's caving in on the house or the car didn't start this morning, on our side, we have the Lord God of our salvation. And nobody can take that away from us. He's there. And we can and we should rejoice in His strength. Because He's the one that's able. He's able to lift us up and to carry us through. But we must go to God, resisting the devil, resisting the temptation to say, woe is me, resisting the temptation to open the doorway for the devil to come in to a broken heart, a broken spirit. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, James says, humble yourselves, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will he do? He will lift you up. That's the power of this word. This is what you need. You know, if you're feeling really, really good, you read this book, guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel better. Yeah. And if you're feeling pretty low, you know what happens? Read this book, you're going to feel better. No matter what you do, you're going to feel better. Unless you draw nigh to the devil, unless you resist God, then nothing you do is going to make it right. Nothing at all. And so we have this wonderful book of God, and all these wonderful things that great men like David and Solomon and Paul and Peter, all these men, Jeremiah, Zechariah, all these guys, Habakkuk, they've all gone through some pretty hard times, but Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, he says. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk on my high heels. And listen, he wasn't talking about high heels. Just so you know, he's talking about walking upright, high on his feet, not down low, not sagging over. Man, I'll tell you, this book, it's got answers. And it has refreshment. And it has power to lift you up. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me in verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 22. Now this is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, he's talking and he says, are they all Hebrews? So am I. Yet, are they Israelites? So am I. And are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in, now listen, stripes? That's beatings, right? Stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked in a night. In a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleepness, often in hunger and thirst, fasting often and cold, naked, besides these other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. You know, I run out of breath talking about all those things that happened to Paul. But I want you to go over to verse 10 of chapter 12. Look at what he says. These things, this is right after he pleads with the Lord to take away this thorn out of his side. And listen to what he says, therefore, by the way, God didn't take the thorn away. But he says, therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, he knows God. He realizes that in our case, this book, these words, they can help us to face anything. Good, bad, doesn't matter. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31, the Apostle Paul, you know, in Romans chapter 8, there were sufferings in the present time. There was the whole of creation groaning in chapter 8. And there were people that were being sought after and murdered, literally. Look what he says in verse 31. For what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who even is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? And look at 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The book. And we need to realize that no matter what happens to us, if we submit to God, resist the devil flees from us. If we draw nigh unto God, he'll draw near unto us. And if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he's going to lift you up. And I really like that because he's done it for me. He'll do it for you. And so when you're down, He lifts you up. And when you're up, He just lifts you higher. Who needs drugs, right? We got this. And this is real. And it's not going to let you loose. However, many times, brethren, we miss the mark. And why? Because we give power to the devil. We do. We give that devil power to possess us, to be an aspect in our lives, when he has no ability to do that if you don't let him. He can't get into you if you don't open the door. We all have an anchor for our soul, Jesus Christ. We all have a key, a lock on the door, which is through the Word of God. We're all protected by God. We draw nigh unto God, He draws nigh unto us. We humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He lifts us up. Right? Draw close to God, the devil goes away. And this happens every time we get into trouble. When we take the true source of our strength, the true source of our courage, which is our Father in heaven, and we turn away from that true source. Turning from God opens the door to the devil. And he has power over us. When we start focusing, for example, on our troubles day to day, that opens the door for the devil to get in. And believe me, he's standing at the door and he wants in. And when we open that door, it opens it up for other people to come in and depress us. Depress us. I'm working on a sermon on Romans chapter 8 where you know, we have this great verse in the Bible, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And too many times, we take that verse out of context and we add a little thought in there, even if we don't say the words, all things work together for my good. And that's not what that verse teaches at all. That verse teaches that God's will, His plan, His good, His mission for us and His ideals, they're going to come to fruition no matter what happens in this world on His behalf. And so Satan only works in our loss, in our misery. He only works if you let him in. David wasn't doing that. Habakkuk didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. Then you think about the book of John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Right? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that's what, no matter what happens in life, he can lift you up. He's more powerful. There's somebody else in the Bible that we're worth... You think about how miserable life can be. You know, when we think about this, think of Job. You know, that's an actual picture of Job. Just so you know. And you know that's not true. But in the case of Job and the example of Satan, he had a lot of leeway dealing with Job, and there were trials and tragedies in his life beyond imagination. And Satan is the one who affected those things. He's the one who brought evil upon Job. But notice something. The trials, as bad as they were, they didn't cause Job to curse God. They didn't cause Job to go, woe is me. Boy, this life, woe is me. He didn't do that. He didn't say, the devil has power over me and he's causing me to fail. Because Job held to his integrity. He held to his faith. And he used those things as tools against the devil to keep that devil out. And I'll tell you, that devil tried really hard. Job's wife, he worked through his friends, through his wife. And they tried to convince Job that God was the source of his pain and suffering. And you remember the words of his wife, right? Curse God. Why do you hold to your integrity? Curse God and die. Man, when somebody that's as close as a wife would be to you and says something like that. But you know what? Peter said, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is about like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, Satan will use weakness of friends and relatives and circumstances, anything that he can to shake your confidence from God. Anyone at all who would kick somebody when they're down is a despicable character, and the devil's real good at that. And there's no depth to what he would stoop to do to lure you from God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8 through 10, that's where Peter said, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then in verse 9, Peter says, just resist him. Be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not alone. And in verse 10, he says, may the God of grace, right? Of all grace, who called you or us into his eternal glory in Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know how he does that? Right here. Through the Word. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, for the next few moments, we want to just consider Job a little bit more. Let's see how what did he have to deal with? He had great prosperity, Job chapter 1, 1 through 5. And then he had adversity. Terrible things happened. Everything came down, crushing down around him. And then Job is perplexed in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, his friends, they inundated him. Boy, they were called friends, but it's hard to imagine his friends being that way. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, they attacked Job. And he just seeks to defend himself. And this continues through cycles, three cycles. And then a fellow named Elihu, he speaks in Job chapter 32 through chapter 37. And Elihu contradicts Job's friend, and in 33 he contradicts Job himself. And so he's proclaiming the justice of God. And then in 38, Job is humbled by God. This is all happening in a very short time in his life. And you know, God rebukes Job's critics. God restores Job's wealth. And what I want to see from this outline is that through all the loss, all the suffering, all the criticism, Job was able to overcome. Why? Because he kept his eyes looking up. He didn't curse God. He suffered, but he never turned his back on God. And because of all this, it seemingly never stopping trial. But yet it did stop. Job kept coming back to the Lord. After he lost everything, he didn't turn his eyes from God. If then you were raised with Christ, Paul said, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Paul never turned his eyes off of God. And God rebuked those who attacked Job. You know, Paul said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek the things from above. Paul, like Job, no matter what happened, kept his eyes focused upon God. God restores all. Job was able to withstand the adversity. Why? Because he kept looking up. And I want you to be thinking about that. You know, as followers of God, we put our hope and our trust in God, in His Word. Yes, sorrows and troubles, they come our way. Good times, they come our way. We're not promised to have a life free of pain because we're in Christ. And we're not going to have a life free of suffering. We're not going to have a life where we'll never lose anything. But like Job, we have someone to turn to. We have an advocate. As we read earlier, that Jesus Christ, He's there. He's in heaven. He overcame death, Paul said in Romans 8. And He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. He is the Son of God. Someone who knows our problems and can relate to us. And you all know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that that's exactly what it tells us. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And what's He say? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. That's our anchor. That's who we're talking about. That's this Word of God. And listen, if you're in trouble, go to the Word. Find an answer. If you're feeling really good, go to the Word. Feel better. There's just everything that pertains unto life and godliness right here. I love the words of King David, who said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in His way, and though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for he's upheld by the hands of God. That applies to us. Psalm 37 and 32 through 34. Or 23 through 30, 24 rather. And he's upheld. You're upheld by the hands of God. I love those words. And we don't want to forget the Apostle Paul, who said, love never fails. God is love. Right? If we're children of God, we're in God, and we're wearing the love of God. If we're followers of God, we hope in God. Love never fails. And find comfort in knowing that He does hear you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And when we do that, the Word of God will lift us up. You know, as children of God, we can go to God in prayer. We talked about that this morning. That's that link, the mortar, if you will, that kind of puts our bricks together and makes them stay. And so every time we take the Word of God and we go to God in prayer, it's just building and establishing. And we know that God will answer our prayers according to the Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 22, we just read that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. He hears you. You know, 1 John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's given us something through this, an anchor for our soul. And God's peace, that's something that nobody can take away. Remember Paul? Distress, stripes, beatings, hunger, near left for dead. But he still had the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In fact, he wrote about that. It's a peace that you'll never lack for. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, through Christ Jesus. You know, that's what Paul wrote. The same guy that says, we are led to the sheep like slaughter, and we're being killed all day long. Yet in all these things we're conquerors. Why? Because the power of God's Word can help us do anything in this life. Paul said that for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He's able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He's able. Now, you can't say that about anybody else in this world, because even though the best friend you have might be able to comfort you a little, they can't do what this... You need this book. You need God. No matter who you are, no matter how good you feel right now, believe me, you can feel better. No matter how bad you feel right now, you can feel better. God's peace will be with you always. He's God who is able to deliver us. And that's something no man can do. But, if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the gold. You know who said that? Meshach and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that. Why did they say that? They said that because they wouldn't worship the idol. The only option was to worship the idol or be thrown in a big fiery furnace. And what did they do? They chose God. No matter what happened, they chose God. Did they know for certain? Did God whisper in their ear and say, "Listen, guys, you tell him that you're going to choose me and you're not going to take that idol and you're going to come out of that furnace just fine." They didn't know that. Did Daniel know that if he prayed like he was accustomed to and people saw him pray, that they would throw him in the den of lions, but God said, "Don't worry about it, I'll shut the lion's jaws"? He didn't know that. But he trusted God. And therefore, they have a peace that surpasses all understanding. They trusted God. We trust His Word. When we think about these three Jewish captives who refused to idolize or worship an idol erected there in Babylon, our God who we serve is able to deliver us, he said. They didn't know for sure. They didn't know if the deliverance would be in this world or the next. They just knew God is able. And so they told that king, "We're not going to serve your gods." You know, that's real peace, and that's what you get from the power of God's Word. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says that, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you realize that He's the one who made all things? He's the one who came down from the glories of heaven and brought the life and the light into the world. He's the one who died on the cross and 3 days later arose from the grave. He's the one who sits right now victorious at the right hand of God in heaven as an intercessor for us. He's the one that's the propitiation for our sins. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And He's on your side if you just follow Him. Take His yoke. He's able to make everything so much better. And all you have to do is accept His invitation. We don't want to succumb to temptation. You don't want to blame God for your problems. Our attitude needs to be that we're going to serve God no matter what happens, no matter what trials or tribulations, no matter how good we feel. We don't want to get in that trap where, "Man, everything's going really good today. I'll go to church tomorrow. I'll worship God tomorrow." Every day, we need to be a bear and never let go. Our Lord stands ever ready. He says, "Come unto me." You know, if you're outside of Christ, you don't have all these blessings at all. and the trials that you have to go through, you go through them alone. And even the things that you do when you feel good, you'll feel good alone. You won't have the prayer doorway. You won't have the comfort and the guidance that the Lord can offer. You know, God's peace can be with you always. Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." God's peace can be with you always. Many people today balk at something like, baptism, the method in which God chose to wash us of our sins and to become a part of the body of Christ to be added. Many people don't understand that all the blessings of God and our Father, are all those blessings, the spiritual blessings, are only found in Christ, and we can only be in Christ through baptism. For one by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13. We can be slaves to the devil or slaves to God. Believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And I got a question. Have you heard the gospel? You're here tonight. Have you heard the gospel? John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus tells us that we must all hear and be taught if we're going to come to Him. Have you heard the gospel? Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? John 8:24. Do you know that you're a sinner and that you need to repent of your sins? I'm just asking the question. Do you know that you need to be baptized to be saved from your sins? To have your sins washed away? To look at a home in heaven one day? To avoid the torment of hell? And you know that you must live a faithful life if you have. If you already know all these things and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, I guess the question arises, why not? Why not? There was a woman named Gertrude who went up and she was going to parachute all by herself. And the instructor said to her, the first thing you do when you jump out of the airplane is you pull the big, heavy cord. The big cord. And he says, if that doesn't work, you pull the little red cord. And he says, and then I'll be in the little red pickup truck to pick you up when you land. So she jumps out of the airplane. She pulls that big, heavy cord. Nothing happens. She pulls the little red cord. Nothing happens. And on the way down, what she's thinking? She's not thinking, I'm going to die. She's not thinking that. She grumbles a little bit. She mutters. And she says, man, with all these bad things happening, I bet you when I get there, the pickup truck ain't going to be there. She had it all wrong. The perspective's all wrong. She was going to die. But that won't happen with God. If you trust and obey Him, for all the promises of God are yes, and in Him are amen, and the glory to God through us. Do you have a need this day? Is there something that we can help you with? Is there something that we can answer for you? Is this the night that you wish to come forward and be baptized? The invitation stands, and we're ready to help you in any way we can. Just come forward as we stand and as we sing.